Well, tonight let us consider our Lord Jesus Christ by looking at John chapter 8, verse 12 to 20. John chapter 8, verse 12 to 20, and our theme tonight is Jesus, Light of the World. John 8, 12 to 20. Let us hear God's word. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. This is God's word. Let's once again pray. Father, tonight, as we come now to study your word, we do so trembling at your word, knowing that tonight we hear the voice of the Holy God speak to us from the pages of the Scripture. Oh Lord, tonight may you cause us to be sober-minded in our dealing with the word. May we approach the word of God with reverential fear, knowing that you are the God who speaks. Oh Lord, give us ears to hear what you would say to us. Tonight may we hear your word and apply your word, and may we gain knowledge of Christ. Oh Lord, be glorified tonight, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, in recent days, I think nearly everybody in the Western world has seen much reporting and many updates coming from Ukraine as a result of the Russian invasion. I have personally spent a bit of time watching different media reports and also reading the real-time tweets from people who are on the ground in Ukraine. And something I've noticed as I've watched the media reports and read what the eyewitnesses are saying is that oftentimes people are speaking now of a great darkness that has once again descended upon Europe. There was this assumption that there once was light, but now there is darkness. Now, of course, they are speaking of the darkness of war, and it's not the first time that darkness has been used in that sense. In the First World War, Europe was referred to as being under a cloud of darkness. In the Second World War, it was said that the darkness of Nazism had arisen in Europe. Throughout the Cold War, there was the great darkness of communism, and now we are saying the darkness has returned once again. But I would suggest tonight that the darkness actually never left. The darkness has already been there and always been there. War may have ceased for a time, but war is merely a fruit of the darkness that is in the heart of all of humanity. There is a great spiritual darkness in the heart of all humanity this very evening. It is a darkness that is not confined just to Europe or indeed to the battlefront, but it's a darkness that transcends all cultures, all nations, all people groups, and indeed all languages and skin colours. It is a darkness that is powerful. It is a darkness that enslaves. It is a darkness that had its beginning with our first parent, Adam, when he sinned against God and plunged the world into darkness. And since then, every person who enters into the world is born into a state of spiritual darkness. There is great darkness tonight. And that darkness flows from the hearts of each and every one of us. And as a result of society being dark, the world is dark. There's great darkness, but it all begins with our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, which we read earlier in the service, declares that the way of the wicked is darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. There's darkness everywhere. There's darkness in the world. There's darkness in this nation. There's darkness in Newquay. Yet even into the darkness, there is hope. In the darkness, a light has come. Into the darkness, a light is shining. And that is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is fascinating when Christmas time rolls around. We like to read Isaiah chapter 9, but in Isaiah chapter 9 it says, the people who walked in a great darkness have seen the light. Jesus is always referred to as the one who is light. He is the one who comes to banish the darkness, to triumph over all his foes, and to bring a great hope for all peoples. And tonight as we come to our passage of Scripture, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ holds himself up as the hope. The light in our passage tonight goes to war with the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. We are told in John's Gospel here, starting in verse 12, that Jesus is in the temple and he's speaking to the crowd. We are told at the end of our section that we're looking at this evening in verse 20 that Jesus was in the treasury in the temple. That is where he is preaching. The start of John chapter 8, we see that Jesus was in the temple and the crowds were coming to hear him preach. That is what is going on in our passage. Jesus is in the temple courts and people are flocking to him to hear him preach the truth. Jesus, the one who speaks like no one else has ever spoken. He offers the words of hope. He offers the words of light, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Into the temple courts goes the Lord Jesus Christ, and he stands up and he proclaims a wonderful truth. Jesus in the temple preaches to the crowds and preaches to us tonight that he is the light of the world. Now this stands in stark contrast to the great darkness that the crowds were in, or the great darkness of the religious leaders. Jesus is the light. And I want you to notice verse 12 tonight, the light of the world. Now this statement that Jesus makes here is quite famous. I can't tell you the number of pictures that I've seen on social media of a lighthouse shining its beam into the darkness and followed by the words of Jesus, I am the light of the world. If you go to Christian bookshops, you can often find paintings with similar themes of light shining in the darkness with these words of Jesus. It is a famous statement that Christ makes. I am the light of the world. Now, one of the reasons this statement is quite famous is because this is what is known as the second I am saying of Jesus. In John's Gospel, there are seven I am statements. There are statements where Jesus says, I am this, I am that. We have seen previously in John chapter 6 that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And now here in John chapter 8, he says, I am the light. And what makes these statements so unique and so famous is that Jesus is actually referencing the name of God found back in Exodus chapter 3 verse 14, and he applies it directly to himself. There is a depth to what Jesus is saying here. There is a richness to what Christ says when he says, I am the light of the world. In Exodus chapter 3 verse 14, it says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. In Exodus, when Moses said to the burning bush, who am I to say has sent me to Egypt? God responds by saying, I am has sent you. And the Jews knew that was the sacred name of God. He revealed himself as the great I am. And then Jesus comes along and he enters into the temple courts, and Jesus says, I am. Jesus makes a declaration here that reveals to us that he is more than just a good teacher. He is revealing to us that he is God with us. Jesus takes the name of God, I am, and he applies it to himself. He applies it to himself and he reveals that he is God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. He is truly divine. And he says, I am. So when Jesus stands in the temple here in verse 12 and declares, I am the light of the world, we should hear Jesus saying, I am God, the light of the world. But there's also a greater depth to this statement of Jesus. Not only is he revealing his divinity, but if we dig a bit deeper into this statement, I am the light of the world, we actually see that Jesus is revealing much about himself. You see, it's vital as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we know the Old Testament, because if we know the Old Testament, we can get a greater sense of what Jesus is saying here. You see, the Old Testament spoke quite often of light. The Old Testament referenced light in many different ways. And Jesus uses that imagery of the Old Covenant to reveal who he is. For instance, in the Old Testament, light was a sign of God's presence with his people. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 to 22, God reveals himself as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. There was a light that was with the people. It was a sign that God was with them. Now, just as an interesting context note, this statement that Jesus makes takes place a day after the Feast of Tabernacles has finished. Now, in the Feast of the Tabernacles, if you went to the temple during the feast, they would light all these different candles to remind the people that God is light and that he was the one who delivered his people from Egypt. So when Jesus stands up and says, I am the light of the world, they would have been able to look at the temple candles and gone, just a couple of days ago, we were reminding ourselves that God is light. But if we continue our study in the Old Testament, we would come to Psalm 27 verse 1, and we would see that light in that sense is used to symbolize salvation. Psalm 119 verse 105, God's word provides light to direct his people. Isaiah 49 verse 6, light is spoken of as going throughout the whole earth. Isaiah 60, 14 to 22, and Zechariah 14, 5 to 7 tells us that the reign of Messiah will be a reign of light that will shine forth to all nations. The rabbis knew that Messiah was light. That is why they taught, based on Daniel 2, 22, that light was one of the names of the Messiah. Now, if you factor in all these Old Testament references, and there are many more that we could look at, we start to get a picture of what Jesus is saying in the temple. When he stands up and says, I am the light of the world, he doesn't want us merely to think of a lighthouse like we do in our current understanding. He wants us to see the depth of what is being fulfilled. All these Old Testament pictures, all these shadows from the Old Testament are finding their fulfillment in Christ. The Old Testament pointed forward to the Lord Jesus. The Old Testament is full of the covenants of promise, which all spoke of the coming Savior. As we read through the Old Testament and we see these references to light, we should see them fulfilled in the Christ who is saying, I am the light of the world. Now those in the temple on that day would have understood what Jesus was saying. They would have got the imagery because they knew the Old Testament very well. One of the sad states of the modern evangelical church is that we are a New Testament church only. But God has given us all scripture, Old and New Testament. We should know both sides of our Bible. The Old Testament points forward to Jesus. And when we get to the New Testament, we see those promises fulfilled. We should know both sides of the scripture. Well, those in the temple would have got what Christ was saying. They would have understood the depth of his declaration. He is the God who is light. He is the God who is with them. He is the God who directs them. He is the God who provides salvation for them. He is the God who is the Messiah. He is the God who is going to have light go throughout all nations, and his rule and reign will have no end. The Jews would have understood that. But as Jesus speaks about being the light of the world, there is also another element that we need to understand. Jesus isn't just describing himself, but he's also describing the state of all humanity. For Jesus to be the light of the world implies that the world needs light. For Jesus to be the light of the world tells us that the world is in darkness. The whole world is dark. A blanket of sinful darkness weighs heavy across all of humanity. Now, spiritually, we know from the Word of God that we are all born in darkness because of our sin. Our sin has separated us from the source of light. Our sin has separated us from God himself. If you are not a Christian, if you have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, then tonight you are in great darkness. You do not have the light. And many people actually realize that darkness. I have spoken to many different people in the course of evangelism who will happily tell me that the world is a dark place. That there's a spiritual darkness in the world. People aren't ignorant of the spiritual reality. The problem is, those people who don't know Jesus, who know that there's great darkness, don't actually want to go to the light. They can curse the darkness, and they can say they want the light, but they will never run to Jesus, the light of the world. Instead, what many people do when they realize there is spiritual darkness in the world is that they go looking for false lights. They go try and find hope in the wrong areas. Perhaps they fall for the New Age and pagan idea that says, look for the light within. There's one big problem with that statement. There's no light within. We are the source of the darkness. There is no inner light. Others will look for light in reason or philosophy or secular humanism. Some will even look for light in a political savior. Perhaps the politician will come along and he'll fix the problems of society. A false light that provides no hope at all. Others decide that they're going to find the light by jumping online. They go onto YouTube, they Google some random things and find the latest conspiracy theory espousing some random idea, and they say, I finally found the light. But they haven't. Still others will say, well, there's great darkness out there, perhaps the religions of the world. They provide the solution, so they run off to other religions looking for light. Some run to Islam or paganism or Buddhism or Hinduism or the myriad of other false religions seeking light. But they don't find any. There's still great darkness. Others will say, well, maybe one of the many Christian movements will have light, and they run after the false Christian movements, the counterfeit Christian movements. They run to the cults, and perhaps they think the light we found there, but no, there's still darkness. Some run off to Roman Catholicism, the great darkness, and they still can't find light. One of the common ones we see today, especially amongst the young people, is they run to the extreme charismatic movement with all its demonic signs and wonders. And they think, perhaps I will find the light in the latest emotional experience. But they're still in the darkness. But what's fascinating is that all the people who say there's great darkness in the world will not go to the source of light. They naturally will not go to Jesus, the light of the world. And the reason they won't naturally go there in and of their own endeavours and strength is because at heart, they actually love the darkness. People naturally love the dark. That's what Jesus taught us. In John chapter 3, verse 19 to 20, Jesus said, and this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Oh, it's easy for us to say, "Oh, that's dark out there." It's easy for the world to point out all the problems and say we need the light. But they don't want Jesus. They don't want Christ to be the answer. They naturally hate him, and they won't come to him. They don't like the light. Think of it like this. I'm sure we've probably all been in this situation before. It's a night time. You're asleep in a dark room. You're sleeping well when all of a sudden someone walks in and turns the lights on. Well, light is good generally, but when you've been in the dark room asleep, the light is terrible. You don't want that. We have children who come in and turn random lights on, and the first thing I say is, "Turn that light off!" Why? Because when you're in the darkness, you don't want the light shining. You want to scurry back into the darkness. And that's what it's like for the sinner. "Oh, yes, it's dark, it's terrible. Well, there's the light of Jesus." "No, turn it off! I don't want to see him. I don't want to go to him." Why? Because he will expose me for being the source of the darkness. He'll expose me for who I truly am. So Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," but the people will not naturally go to him because they love the darkness. And indeed, none of us would have naturally gone to Jesus for light until such a time as God the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again. We would never go to Jesus the light until the Father drew us to the Son. And when God did that, when God changed our hearts and our wills and made us alive spiritually, then we willingly went to the light. But until such time as the Holy Spirit works, no one will come to the light. But Jesus stands and he says, "I am the light of the world." And then he makes a promise. He says, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus says those who follow him, those who come to him, those whom the Father draws to him, those who come in repentance and faith, they will follow him. And no longer will they be in darkness. Rather, they will have light. A transformation occurs. Here is the solution and the only solution for the darkness of our world. Go to the light. You see, the person who follows Jesus is a person who has turned from their sins. It is a person who has trusted in the Saviour, and that person will continue to follow Christ. The depth of the Greek used here for follows carries the meaning that those who come to the light of Jesus are not half-hearted followers. Rather, they are people who fully pursue Christ, who love him and who want to keep his commandments. They are true Christians, and they stand in stark contrast to those in the darkness. This is what Jesus is preaching in the temple. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Light shines in the darkness. And there's now a conflict between light and the dark. And in verse 13 onwards, we see the darkness tries to counterattack. The darkness tries to overcome the light. And the religious leaders, those who said that they had the light, actually reveal themselves as being dark by trying to discredit Jesus. Notice the darkness of the religious leaders in verse 13 to 20. John tells us that the Pharisees are present that day. They hear what Jesus is saying, and they instantly oppose him. Now, it must be noted that this is a different group of Pharisees that we met earlier in John chapter 8. Earlier in John chapter 8, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman before Jesus to try and trap him. That woman had committed adultery, and they tried to trick Jesus into saying something that would get him into trouble. Well, Jesus revealed their sin, and those religious leaders, those Pharisees, cleared off. They left, from the oldest to the youngest. They tried, they failed. But now we have a different group of Pharisees, another group that decides it's their turn to try and stop the light. They decide it's now their turn to try to put an end to Jesus. And what these Pharisees do is they seek to find a fault with what Jesus says. And they do that by taking the law of God and they twist it and pervert it to make it fit their agenda. They hear what Christ says. They hear the words, I am the light of the world. They hear the declaration, and their response to Jesus is to say, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. What a dangerous statement to make. You're a liar, is what they're saying. Now, the first part of their statement is actually obvious. Jesus did speak of himself. But that doesn't invalidate what he said. You see, instead, what the Pharisees are doing is twisting things around. They're saying, where are your witnesses? Where are those who are going to stand up and support you and say, indeed, you are the light of the world? You see, what the Pharisees were doing was operating on the Jewish legal system, but they were taking it from its context and acting unjustly. In the Jewish legal system, which God laid down in the Old Testament, the law said that when someone was brought before the court or brought before a judgment bar, the suspect who had been accused of a crime could only be found guilty based on the testimony of at least two witnesses. In other words, if you accuse someone of something, it couldn't just be your word versus their word. You had to have witnesses. We still have this understanding in legal system today. That's what the law says. That's how it should be used. But the thing is, Jesus isn't actually on trial. Jesus isn't standing before the court. Jesus is not on trial here. Yet, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, take the law, they twist it, they pervert it, they change it, and they do so to try to trap Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus promises light to those who are in spiritual darkness. Yet they come along and say, hang on, where's your witnesses? There's actually no need for Jesus to produce witnesses because he wasn't on trial. But the Pharisees seek to twist the law, they pervert the word of God to try and trap Jesus. They think they can discount Jesus and discredit him in front of the crowd simply by saying, you have no witnesses. You see, what we see here in John chapter 8 is that the darkness cannot stand the light. So the darkness tries to silence the light. The Pharisees, the religious people, could not comprehend the light. So they try to discredit Jesus. But as we see, Christ does indeed fulfill the law, including their false interpretation of it, and that his words are true, and that Jesus is the light of the world. So the accusation is made against Christ, but notice how Jesus responds. Jesus gives three reasons as to why his testimony is true. The first is found in John chapter 8, verse 14, when Jesus says, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. The first answer Jesus gives to the darkness to prove the truthfulness of his claims is found in the fact that Jesus has first-hand knowledge. Jesus says, I come from heaven. I come from that place where there is no darkness. I come from the place where there is only truth. Jesus says, that is where I come from, and that is where I am going. That establishes the grounds of truth. Jesus is saying to the Pharisee, I am the God who came down from heaven and I speak the truth because I am the light of the world. But then Jesus says the Pharisees, they don't even know who he is. They don't know where he came from. They don't know where he is going. So even based on their legal system, they had no grounds to bring charges against him. They haven't investigated. They're acting unjustly in their conduct. The second response Jesus gives is found in John 8, verse 15. And Jesus says, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Now this gets to the fact that the Pharisees were being unjust in their judgment. The darkness does not play fair. They were not playing fair with Jesus. They didn't bother to look at the claims of Christ. They didn't investigate what Jesus said. Rather, they simply assume he cannot be who he said he is. They judge a book by its cover, basically. You said you're the light of the world. That's impossible. Look at you. You can't be the light of the world. That's how they respond. They judge from a human perspective. They look at Jesus and say, look, just look at him. He's not the Messiah. He's not the Savior. He can't be. Look at him. That's what the Pharisees think and say. And Jesus says, that's not how I judge. I don't judge by human standards. I don't judge from a human perspective. Rather, as we know from Scripture, Jesus judges rightly. He judges from the perspective of heaven. He doesn't judge people from an unjust view. So when Jesus here says, I judge no one, he is saying, I'm not judging based on your standard. I'm not judging based on what you think is right. He's not playing games with the darkness and saying, well, I'm going to make judgment based on how the darkness makes judgment. No, when Jesus judges, he judges in righteousness. Jesus judges in holiness. Jesus is the God who requires truth in the inward part. And when he judges, it's going to be a pure and right and holy judgment. Not like the Pharisees. The third answer Jesus gives is found in verse 16 and 18. And Jesus says, and yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. See, the Pharisees tried to apply the whole legal system. Where's your witnesses? And Jesus says, well, look, if I want to play your game, if I want to judge according to your law, let me give you two witnesses. And it's worth noting, Jesus says, your law. It is also written in your law. He doesn't say God's law. Why? Because the Pharisees had twisted it out of its context. God's law said two witnesses for a judicial proceeding. The Pharisees tried to make it for everyday situations. And Jesus calls it your law. But he says, if you want to play those games, you want two witnesses, here they are. I am a witness. And so is my Father. Jesus says, I testify to who I am, and my Father testifies to who I am. When did the Father testify to the truthfulness of Jesus? At his baptism. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, as Jesus come out of the water, we are told that the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father bears witness to God the Son. That's the defense Jesus puts to the unjust charges of the Pharisees. The light is shining. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. The darkness counterattacks. Jesus repels their counterattack. He answers with truth. And the religious leaders must have known that they had got themselves in a sticky situation. That their argument has failed because notice they changed tact. They now say, well, where is your father? The first argument was prove it. Now it's, where's your father? Because maybe they looked at the crowds, maybe they looked at all the people gathering in the temple court, and they wondered if someone is going to step forward and say, that's me. I'm the father of Jesus. But all this actually does is reveal to us the great darkness that the religious leaders were in. They didn't understand who Jesus is. They didn't understand who God is. The religious leaders were in the dark. They were spiritually dark, just like everyone else the world over. We're all in the spiritual darkness apart from Christ. They're spiritually dark. So Jesus answers them by saying, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. This is a slap in the face to the religious leaders. You think you know God. You religious leaders walk around acting like you've got it all together. Like you're the light. You tell people that you know the way to God. You don't know me. And you don't know my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father. Jesus is declaring that these religious leaders, despite all their religiosity, were in the darkness. They did not have the light of the world. They had the externals of religion, but they were in the dark. They had theology, but they were in the dark. They had all their traditions and customs and practices, yet they were in the dark. They didn't know Jesus, the light of the world. And because they didn't know Jesus, the light of the world, they didn't know God the Father. The only way for someone to know God is through Jesus and Jesus alone, the light of the world. As Jesus would later say in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you want to know God the Father, you have to know God the Son. Jesus, the light of the world. You see, these religious leaders were just as dark as everyone else. They couldn't offer hope. They couldn't help the people because they didn't know the light either. The people couldn't see spiritually because of their sin and the darkness they were in. And neither could these religious leaders. They were just as blind. And the truth we see here still holds true today. There are many people the world over who claim to be religious, who are in great darkness. There are even many religious leaders who run around claiming to be able to offer help and light, but they are in the darkness themselves. They don't know the Lord Jesus. They don't have the light. You see, what we need to learn and realize is this, that just because someone says they are a Christian or just because someone says they are religious or a religious leader does not mean they know God. Doesn't mean anything at all. See, this is why it's always important that we as Christians go to the source of light for ourselves. We must go to Jesus ourselves for light. Any religious organization or movement that says you need a man to stand in the gap between you and God is a religion that you should run far from. It's a religion you should flee from. And every religion apart from biblical Christianity teaches that. Islam says you need Muhammad to understand God. Hinduism says you need the gurus to understand Hinduism. Buddhism says you need the Buddha, the enlightened one. Roman Catholicism says you need the priests. Biblical Christianity says you personally go to Jesus. You go straight to God yourself. God has come for us as individuals, so you can go individually to God. Jesus is the light of the world. He invites all people to come to him. He He doesn't say, look, I'm the light of the world, go through a priest, go through a minister, go through a pastor. He doesn't say that. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. He calls us as individuals to go to him directly. This is a wonderful act of grace from God. We get access to God directly. Jesus gives us direct access to the Father. God himself reveals himself to us. Do not put your trust in a minister. Do not even put your trust in me. I've said this many times from this pulpit and indeed in the open air as well. Test everything I say by the word of God. And if I ever say anything that goes against the scripture, then disregard what I say and go with God's word yourself. Go directly to Jesus. Don't place your trust in me. Don't place your trust in any man or any human tradition. Place your trust in Christ and Christ alone. Look to him as the light of the world. Read his word, the scripture, for from the word of God we see Jesus giving us light. My job as a minister is merely to hold up the light and say, look at him. Isn't he wonderful? Go to him directly. Go to him as an individual. I'm not the light, I'm just sent to bear witness of the light. Go to Jesus. And go to Jesus alone. And the reason I can say that is because I am the one who needs the light as well. You see, these religious leaders, these Pharisees, thought that they were better than everyone else. They had it together. They were the source of light. No, they're in darkness. And even a pastor who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, any minister of the gospel has to say, you know what, I need the light as well. I can only point to him because he has saved me and been incredibly kind towards me. You see, even the most religious person in the world still has sinned against God. They're still under the judgment of God. They're still in spiritual darkness. But Jesus sets people free. And no matter who you are or what your background is, if you would go to Jesus as the light, if you'd turn from your sins and trust in him as the one who died and rose again, then you'd no longer be in the darkness. Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And the question for us tonight is this, have you come to the light? Have you come to the Lord Jesus? Who are you trusting in tonight? Jesus is our only hope to get us out of the spiritual darkness. He is the light of the world and he calls on all of us to go directly to him, to run straight to him. You don't need a priest, you don't need a pastor, you don't need a church, you don't need a religious institution, you need Christ. And Christ says, come to me directly. Come to me as the light of the world. And he promises that if you go to him, he will take you out of the power of darkness and he will transfer you into the kingdom of his light. Jesus offers light tonight. Have you been to the light? Have you trusted in Jesus, the light of the world? The one who has come into the darkness, into our existence, to rescue us. As Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank you that we can read your word tonight, that we can study the scripture and see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may we look upon him as the light of the world. And may we flee to him. May we leave the spiritual darkness that we are in. And may we turn to the Lord Jesus, trusting only in him. For those of us who are believers, who have trusted in Christ already, may we continue to rejoice in the great light that Christ has given. May we hold fast to him, not being half-hearted followers, but may we be fully committed to Christ. But Lord, if there be any here tonight or listening online who are still in spiritual darkness. We ask that tonight, Lord, they would see the light of the Lord Jesus, and that, Father, you would draw them to the Saviour, and that this very night they would come to Christ in repentance and faith, confessing their sins and declaring that He is Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, would you save the lost tonight, we pray. For Christ's sake, Amen.